Thanks for tuning in to a double feature of the Baptist Bias. Exciting night. We get to talk about 9/11, and we had Mr. Gage on our previous episode. You got to check that out. But right now, we're going to be talking about the debate and recapping it. Some people have already been watching this live, but we have got some clips that we're going to be going through and watching again and talking about, bringing in some commentary. And we're going to try and get some audience feedback here. I know that Rumble is being stressed to the max right now, so hopefully we won't have too many technical difficulties. But I'm your host, Pastor Shelley, the Baptist Bias. You want to watch everything with us, right? Don't you, Ben?
Oh, I agree with that, 100%. Everything has to go through the lenses of the Baptist Bias, isn't that right?
Everybody's got a perspective out there.
But you need to get
the Baptist Bias.
That was lame, but it's all right. We tried.
Yeah, A+ people are going to be like, y'all are so cringy. Why would I ever watch this show? But no, of course, I'm excited to watch some of this debate. Before we get into it, what are your pre-show thoughts here? Is Trump going to wipe the floor? Is it going to be kind of 50-50? Is Kamala going to do better than expected? Like, where's your head at?
I think Donald Trump, he should win the debate. I mean, he's debating a literal idiot and a whore. She's also an idiot.
Tell us how you really feel.
The thing is, like, I think what I would like to see from him, and I haven't seen the debate yet. I'm going to watch for the first time along with you, Pastor Shelley. I'd like to see him build a little momentum tonight. I think he needs some more. He needs to infuse his campaign with a little more excitement, something to get his base talking again.
Some energy.
Some energy. He's been a little low energy. It could be age. Maybe his advisors are telling him to dial it back. But I'm hoping that tonight he really brings it and gives his fans something to talk about.
No, I'm very excited for the show, and I'm excited to watch some of these clips. We had some of our producing crew create some clips for us and pull them out. So we're going to watch just some of the highlights. Of course, you know, I realize you didn't watch the show while we were having our other show, Ben, but thanks for the reminder.
It's just a reminder.
Yeah.
I could have been on my phone watching it.
Yeah, so. That's true. I didn't know. You got that earpiece over there.
I have the earpiece.
And so, you know, of course, we already realized that 9/11 is an inside job, but we're going to try. You can follow me and Band Pastor at Twitter or X. If you have an account, go to Band Pastor, and we're going to be trying to do a Spaces as well. And in that Spaces, we're going to try and bring some people on, and you can share your thoughts as well. So that's just going to be another way that we're going to try and interact with our audience and bring you guys in on the show. And, you know, of course, we're trying to keep up with all the times, all the technologies. I think it's pretty cool. We've done, I did a Spaces show the other day, and it was pretty cool.
It was fun,
wasn't
it? It worked
out pretty well.
You know what I like on the Spaces? When somebody chimes in who doesn't already believe the way we do, and they ask us questions like, wait a minute, so you're saying this? Or I remember there was a guy who, on the Spaces you're referring to, he came in and he was asking us about the new King James Version. He was asking us about our position on the King James only doctrine.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he wasn't totally on our side, but I like that. I like getting a chance to engage with those who may not already agree with us.
Still 100%. A really friendly conversation.
Friendly conversation.
And so
you had a real long one the other day, Monday morning, about 5 hours.
Talk about long. Yeah.
Where an agnostic tried to school you and failed, I think.
So I'm going to go ahead and try and get the Spaces up. So if you can find it, make sure to try and join. And we'd love to have you guys join us on that, and we'll try to bring on some speakers. So if you want to come on the show. Also, we're going to be playing those clips. Let's see if we can tee up maybe that clip one that we have here from our production crew. I think it's a conversation about the economy, and I just don't know how Kamala can answer what's going on with the economy. But let's watch this clip.
Kamala.
This is interesting black. This is we found the black box, Ben. It's right there.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Trump looks his age here. I'll just say that. Trump looking a little older these days.
President Trump, I'll give you 2 minutes.
First of all, I have no sales tax. That's an incorrect statement. She knows that. We're doing tariffs on other countries. Other countries are going to finally, after 75 years, pay us back for all that we've done for the world. And the tariff will be substantial in some cases. I took in billions and billions of dollars, as you know, from China. In fact, they never took the tariff off because it was so much money they can't. It would totally destroy everything that they've set out to do. They're taking in billions of dollars from China and other places. They've left the tariffs on. When I had it, I had tariffs, and yet I had no inflation. Look, we've had a terrible economy because inflation has, which is really known as a country buster. It breaks up countries. We have inflation like very few people have ever seen before, probably the worst in our nation's history. We were at 21%, but that's being generous because many things are 50, 60, 70, and 80% higher than they were just a few years ago. This has been a disaster for people, for the middle class, but for every class. On top of that, we have millions of people pouring into our country from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums, and they're coming in and they're taking jobs that are occupied right now by African Americans and Hispanics, and also unions. Unions are going to be affected very soon. And you see what's happening. You see what's happening with towns throughout the United States. You look at Springfield, Ohio. You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that Xi and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality, and we have to get them out. We have to get them out fast. I created one of the greatest economies in the history of our country. I'll do it again and even better.
We are going to get to.
Well, that was kind of boring. I didn't really.
Well, here's the thing with Trump, if I may just say this real quick. When it comes to his talking points on the economy, he inevitably will bring in immigration. And he'll talk about how, well, these open borders are bringing illegals in or enabling illegals to come in, and that is leading to Hispanic and black jobs getting taken away. And, you know, I'm not an expert on economic policy by any means, but I do think that, you know, Trump, he loves to always just pivot to immigration over and over again. And I think what we saw in that clip is him pivot to immigration and talk about its impact economically on minorities, which some people don't like. Nick Fuentes is critical of him in many for many reasons. One of them is that he keeps bringing up that black jobs are getting taken away by immigrants. I personally like the talking point. I think he's just trying to reach out to their voter base and see if he can steal a few more black votes. So I don't mind him saying that at all. But that's just my opinion. I'm sure you probably
disagree. I mean, yeah, I think it's just like, you know, it's kind of obvious that Trump has a little bit better policies when it comes to these issues. I mean, this is the funny thing. It's like if Kamala could fix any of these economic border issues, why didn't she do it the last 4.5 years?
And again, I'm not an expert on the economy, but I do think from a rudimentary point of view that I have, Trump is strong on economic policy. That seems to be the case from my perspective, and that's probably his strongest suit is what he can do for our country from an economic perspective, and I think that's why a lot of people will be voting for him.
Let's go ahead and play another clip here. Let's get some more. Let's go through some of this debate a little bit more. Let's go to clip two if we can. And we've got a few people joining us
this
on
debate,
Spaces.
But I would like to let Vice President Harris respond on the economy here.
Well, I would love to. Let's talk about what Donald Trump left us. Donald Trump left us the worst unemployment since the Great Depression. Donald Trump left us the worst public health epidemic in a century. Donald Trump left us the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And what we have done is clean up Donald Trump's mess. What we have done and what I intend to do is build on what we know are the aspirations and the hopes of the American people. But I'm going to tell you all in this debate tonight, you're going to hear from the same old tired playbook, a bunch of lies, grievances, and name calling. What you're going to hear tonight is a detailed and dangerous plan called Project 2025 that the former president intends on implementing if he were elected again.
Yeah, when did he say he was going to implement this?
You know,
I wish he would.
Yeah, I would love for that to be true.
Where is the Donald Trump that they keep bringing up? Like, this caricature of Trump that the left has created, where is he so I can vehemently support him and tell everybody to vote for him?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't exist. It's like they think he's Steven Anderson. Where is this Trump?
Well, I don't think Project 2025, in all fairness, is as hardcore as Pastor Anderson would be. I would definitely vote for Pastor Anderson. So.
Look, there was some economic issues for sure, but a lot of that was because of COVID. I think there's legitimate criticisms of how Trump handled COVID. What do you think about that?
Yeah, obviously the COVID was a disaster. You know, if I were them, I would probably bring that up too. I think that's a fair talking point. That's probably really the only talking point they even have, that he, you know, arguably didn't handle it well. But you'd have to ask this question: would Biden or Kamala have done better?
There would have probably been a lot more tyranny with
that. I think there would have been less, you know, bringing up alternative medicines, probably a little bit less like questions about China and Fauci and some of these other things. I think that Trump at least provided some level of skepticism. And so, unfortunately, you know, it's not really clear what would have happened with other people. But, you know, it's definitely a meaningless platitude in my mind. How she's like, it was an attack on our democracy. You know, it's like, what have the Democrats done the last 4 years? They've been attacking our country relentlessly.
I think what she was referring to is that Trump said 2020 was stolen.
It was January 6th, right?
In January 6th. But the left claimed 2016 was stolen by the Russians. So it's only okay to question the 2016 election, and you have video compilations online showing Democrats doing this. And it's okay when they do it. It's not an attack on democracy, but it's an attack on democracy if you question 2020. You know, this is just the leftist hive mind here, I guess. It's the fact that they're just such utter hypocrites.
If you'd like to come on the show and talk to us, you can go to the spaces. We're trying to still do that. There's
cognitive dissonance is what I was looking for.
Yeah, there's a couple people in there that have joined or tried to add you as a speaker. You can join as a speaker, and we'll try to get you on the show. I know that. I feel like every system is being stressed to the max right now with the amount of viewership with the debate. So even Rumble says we've got one viewer, Ben. There's one person out there that likes
you. I don't
know
that that's accurate.
And it may be just me. I'm the only one watching our show. No, I'm just kidding. I see a lot of comments.
Is this a big deal? Do you think it's a big deal tonight, or is it just kind of eh?
I think it's entertainment at this point. It's like WWE is what I heard. You know, it's basically, and which you love WWE, right?
I like professional wrestling. I've liked professional wrestling for a long time, so I guess guilty as charged.
And if you have a question, you can put it in the chat. We might read it. Someone said, Rosemary Heim said she is a pathological liar. And Jesus Lover 122 says, Trump said that he is a, quote, leader of IVF. Also, Trump fully supports the abortion exceptions.
His IVF stance is look,
it's not conservative.
It's just not conservative. And his rhetoric on abortion is stupid because he says, well, we're going to give it back to the states, folks. We're going to give it back to the states. But then he wants to interfere in what states are doing. And he speaks against laws that states want to enact, calling them too extreme. So which one is it, Trump? Do you want to not interfere at all and let the states handle it? Or are you going to, you know, keep butting in and telling states how they should rule on abortion? It's like you can't have both of these talking points at the same time, and yet he contradicts himself whenever states make a law that he finds to be too extreme.
So let's go ahead and play clip three. Let's get a little bit more into the debate.
Wow. Trump's the one who pissed me off the most so far. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Just to finish off, she doesn't have a plan. She copied Biden's plan, and it's like four sentences, like run, spot, run. Four sentences that are just, oh, we'll try and lower taxes. She doesn't have a plan. Take a look at her plan. She doesn't have a plan.
Mr. President, I do want to drill down on something you both brought up.
She doesn't have a plan, folks. No plan. She always looks confused.
We need Brother. Can we get Trump to call in? I'm asking for Brother Oz. Can we get Trump to call in here and give us his view? No, I will say,
join us on Spaces.
Here's the thing. He's good. That was a good clip. I like that he just hammers people. I want to see him hammer Kamala Harris more and just really attack her. Go all out. You know, one of my
favorite. Why does he always have to go against women?
That's, I mean, I don't know.
You know, you got Hillary. Me.
Yeah.
Then you got non-existent Biden, and then you have Kamala now. It's like they have to make it, you know, difficult. Because, again, debating a woman would be difficult, you know, in this particular situation, not because of their intelligence, but the fact that they appeal to emotion.
Oh, yeah.
It looks bad that you're kind of ganging up or beating up on, beating a woman. Up on a woman. And so it's like a psychological.
Well, with Hillary, I mean, I wouldn't
care. No one likes
her. Yeah. Kamala even, too. I mean, these are such evil, wicked, disgusting degenerates that...
How do you feel about
just go
how do you
after
feel
him.
About them?
He should
do
just
like
go
them?
After him. No.
Okay.
Not very much.
Let's keep playing some of these clips.
But hey, I'm critical of Trump, too. Go ahead. I'm trying to be fair.
We hardly make chips anymore because of philosophies like they have and policies like they have. I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy. But
that's good.
If she ever got elected, she'd change it. And it will be the end of our country. She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well. But when you look at what she's done to our country, and when you look at these millions and millions of people that are pouring into our country monthly, where it's, I believe, 21 million people, not the 15 that people say, and I think it's a lot higher than the 21, that's bigger than New York State pouring in. And just look at what they're doing to our country. They're criminals. Many of these people coming in are criminals. And that's bad for our economy, too. You know, you mentioned before, we'll talk about immigration later.
She's a Marxist, folks.
Well, label her. I mean, that's what speaks to the common man.
I think it's funny she said there's going to be all this name calling, but you know, I'd be interested. I would assume that she's probably participating in her fair share of quote name calling.
I mean, yeah,
ad hominem attacks,
fascist, racist. I mean, the list.
Attacks on our democracy.
Attack on the they call him a fascist. That's not name calling.
I do think that might be a meme. We need to have Kamala in a Trump hat for maybe tonight or tomorrow. Do you think you're going to see that?
Sure. Well, she stole the tax on no tax on tips. I think is probably
he's going to get her a MAGA hat.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Yeah.
You
know, all right.
You got to give him credit.
Let's keep
when it's
the
due.
Clips going. Let's keep rolling.
The reason I'm doing that vote is because the plan is, as you know, the vote is they have abortion in the ninth month. They even have, and you can look at the governor of West Virginia, the previous governor of West Virginia, not the current governor, is doing an excellent job, but the governor before. He said, the baby will be born, and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby. And that's why I did that,
you did
because
say that.
That predominates, because they're radical. The Democrats are radical in that. And her vice presidential pick, which I think was a horrible pick, by the way, for our country, because he is really out of it. But her vice presidential pick says abortion in the ninth month is absolutely fine. He also says execution after birth. It's execution, no longer abortion, because the baby is born, is okay. And that's not okay with me, hence the vote. But what I did is something for 52 years. They've been trying to get Roe v. Wade into the states. And through the genius and heart and strength of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do that. Now, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also. 85% of Republicans do. Exceptions. Very important. But we were able to get it, and now states are voting on it. And for the first time, you're going to see, look, this is an issue that's torn our country apart for 52 years. Every legal scholar, every Democrat, every Republican, liberal, conservative, they all wanted this issue to be brought back to the states where the people could vote. And that's what happened. Now, Ohio, the vote was...
He needs to not interfere in what a state decides to do then if he wants to bring it back to the states.
Well, I think that that's a good point. And I'm sure that a lot of people do want to come back to the states. I guess I'm kind of curious and interested about your thoughts on this statistic. 85% of Republicans believe in the exceptions. Do you think that's accurate? I'm just kind of curious.
I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of milquetoast conservatives out there. I'm pretty sure your average person off the street would probably say, well, you know, if the woman's forced or something like that. I mean, it doesn't seem too far out there to me. If you have a different opinion,
well,
I'm happy
to hear it. I would wonder if that statistic's coming from a place of like they brought up all these different exceptions, and then if you said yes to any of them, then they kind of put you in this category. Maybe that's how the statistic was kind of driven, and they were like, what if a 10-year-old was raped or something? Because that's usually how they bring it up. And so they may have had like 85% of Republicans saying like, well, or like a life of the mother, like, hey, if this woman was about to die and somehow the abortion could save her life or something, which is still a weird thing to me because I don't really believe that you have to just like murder a baby to save the mother's life. Obviously, I know that they try to sometimes perform an operation of a C-section or they do some kind of an operation to just have the birth go quickly so as to try, because the mother's experiencing some kind of a medical emergency. But I don't see why you would then shove forceps into the forehead of the baby and dismember it to save the mother, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, did 85% of them say, yes, okay, if there was this weird hypothetical medical emergency situation, we don't want people to be culpable or doctors to be culpable for the termination of the baby just because they're trying to save the mother's life. Like, they're trying to put it in this really weird, super hypothetical situation to try and excuse the idea that they're like, well, we want exceptions. I don't know. Is that kind of fair to say, or is that, do you think that's happening?
I think it's very plausible.
In these polls and these statistics and stuff like that.
I think it's very plausible that that's what's going on.
Or maybe just 85% of Republicans and conservatives just genuinely believe in rape and, you know, life of the mother and these things as exceptions.
I will say, if there are any first-time viewers, since this is a live stream happening on debate night, maybe a few new people have come in to listen to us, Pastor Shelley, we should let them know we don't believe in the exceptions. And if there is a rapist out there who forces a woman, what we would say is put the rapist to death and let the baby live. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible actually prescribes the death penalty for rapists. And Pastor, if you can help me out, is that Deuteronomy chapter 22? Where rapists are put to death?
Yeah, I think towards the end of the chapter, it brings up some scenarios where you would have someone being forced. And so, you know, again, this is what's crazy to me is we spend so much time, effort, and energy arguing whether or not we should kill the baby, but we never spend that time arguing if we should kill the rapist. And I would bet there's probably a high percentage of Americans that would say kill the rapist. But we don't even do that. We allow, I mean, especially migrants. I mean, think about how many people in the UK and other parts of the world are being raped and they're not killing the rapist. Even in America, it seems like people are getting off on these particular charges. And of course, you know, I'm not for this like Me Too movement, you know, rape, you know, accusation 20 years later. I never told anybody. And yeah, I was drunk. And yeah, I let him on. And yeah, he came over to my house. And yeah, you know, we were doing stuff that we shouldn't do. But then he, quote, raped me or something. You know, it's like, I'm not necessarily saying that. But I'm just saying, like, if it was a legitimate man forcing woman, she screamed. Just like the Bible details,
exactly.
There's enough witnesses, there's evidence, like we should have the death penalty for that particular situation.
Yes. So you just drew a distinction in my mind between actual woman getting forced and post-fornication regret. That is not rape.
Some people brought up this idea of, ectopic
pregnancy. Yeah, I was going to say that. Ectopic pregnancy
would probably be the only life-threatening event. Someone else, Swords to Plowshares, said, my wife almost died in her last pregnancy. I would have hated to make that decision. And let's be honest, obviously giving birth can be a life-threatening situation.
Very much so.
Especially if they're hemorrhaging or losing blood or it's been a really, really, really long delivery. You know, we see women dying in the Bible giving birth. Ichabod, that's an example where the mother doesn't respond after giving birth. And so we do have examples of that in scripture. It is something that could happen. I just, again, would say that I'm not sure that you have to necessarily terminate the child in a lot of those situations. I believe in the ectopic, and I'm not an expert on this, but it's basically that the egg that's fertilized is in an unsafe location, that if it were to develop naturally, it could cause some some kind of a particular crisis for the woman. And so, again, I'm not an expert on that.
I'm not either. So I'll refrain from saying. But how about also Genesis 35 with Rachel? She gave birth to Benjamin. Didn't she pass away as a result of that labor, or do you not believe that?
That came to mind, and I'm struggling. I always sometimes struggle to think about if that's something I thought or if that's a clear text. Is that a clear text example, or did she?
Yeah, if you go to Genesis.
Does it say she died in the birth of Benjamin? I couldn't remember if that was for sure.
I believe so. We'll go to it real quickly.
It was trying
Genesis
to.
Genesis chapter 35 says, "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel traveled, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." So it appears that she died in childbirth there.
Yeah, I wasn't wanting to say something that I was misremembering for some reason. But yeah, you're right. She's another example. And it does say in verse 19, and Rachel died. So it does seem very clear that she was she lost her life due to the childbirth of Benjamin. And, you know, there's probably a lot of spiritual significance to that. Being a mother is a sacrificial event. And I think that it's kind of reminiscent of, like, I think when you look at the two sons that she gave birth to, you have Joseph and Benjamin. It's kind of like Jesus dying on the cross, I think, and giving birth to the church. You kind of have that replacement there. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, that was a pretty cool nugget right there. You dropping bars here on the post-debate stream. I like it.
We don't just have to talk about the debate only. It looks like Rumble finally got our numbers back up. We got almost 200 people in the live stream. We have hardly anybody in the spaces. If you do join the spaces, I'll invite you to speak. If you'd like to speak, we're going to try that out. If we don't end up having hardly anybody in the spaces, we might try to go back to the phone calls if anybody would like to call in. But I did drop a link in the chat if you would like to try and join our spaces. We'd like to add some speakers in here. And so we're trying that out. We did a couple spaces before, and they're kind of fun. I actually kind of like it. And so let's go ahead and key up the next clip, and let's play a little bit more here.
And now in over 20 states, there are Trump abortion bans, which make it criminal for a doctor or nurse to provide health care. In one state, it provides prison for life. Trump abortion bans that make no exception even for rape and incest, which, understand what that means. A survivor of a crime of violation to their body does not have the right to make a decision about what happens to their body next. That is immoral. And one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government, and Donald Trump certainly, should not be telling a woman what to do with her body. I have talked with women around our country.
Not your body.
You want to talk about this is what people wanted? Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail, and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot. She didn't want that. Her husband didn't want that. A 12 or 13-year-old survivor of incest being forced to carry a pregnancy to term. They don't want that. And I pledge to you, when Congress passes a bill to put back in place the protections of Roe v. Wade, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. But understand, if Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign
the
national
abortion ban. Yeah, let's pause it for a second, because I want to comment
on
this. And here's the thing. First of all, she brought up the idea of incest. Didn't Trump already clearly explain that he is for that exception? So again, I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying that.
Well, he did.
How is that a fair? How is that a fair debate point? You can bring it back up. She looks retarded the way you have her paused. Additionally, she looks like the retarded whore that she is. Additionally, she brought up this idea of a woman being in the car outside of an emergency room, bleeding and hemorrhaging, and not being able to get medical care. I don't know what could be more of a lie than that. So because number one, hospitals cannot refuse someone in that situation, even if they can't pay. Emergency rooms cannot just deny people in those type of medical emergencies. So it's a complete, flat out, just lie. Secondly, here's another point. She's like, oh, you want Donald Trump telling women what to do? He's like, Donald Trump is not going to give a personal phone call to every single woman in America and tell her specifically what she needs to do medically in all of these situations. Plus, he's giving all of these, quote, exceptions out there anyways. So it just, this is all disingenuous. These aren't even good talking points. I think what's happening is she's just repeating talking points, not even understanding that they have nothing to do with what Donald Trump actually says or believes or his policy positions. It's just repeated talking points. She's just getting up and mindlessly regurgitating things. Is she any better than Joe Biden, Ben?
Arguably worse.
Yeah, because she actually has a brain that's functioning in theory, and it's still just NPC.
Yeah, absolutely. What you just heard there, I think, was an appeal to emotion and also an appeal to low IQ leftist delusion. A lot of the people in her base sit around binge-watching TV shows about Christian authoritarianism while eating 50 pounds of ice cream every day and surrounded by cats, and they don't know any better. They are literally brain dead. I mean, these are the people that support that woman you just heard. They are brain dead. They don't know how to tie their own shoelaces. They're drooling, looking at the screen, and obeying their master, Kamala. It is sickening to have somebody get up there and say, oh, you know, nobody could tell a woman what to do with their body. By every biological and scientific metric, it's not a woman's body. It's a baby's body with its own separate DNA code. It is clearly not her body. That is a stupid talking point.
Yeah, and again, you know, I actually saw a Charlie Kirk debate that aired just like today or yesterday or something like that. And there's this woman just screeching and squealing, some college student yelling at him. And it's about this particular situation. She's saying, well, it's not viable. And it's just like this viability argument is one of the worst arguments I've ever heard when it comes to whether you should abort a baby. Because, yeah, how about a one-day-old baby? Is that viable to live on its own without support of its mother?
No, you should just kill it.
I mean, if it's not viable, we can kill it. Would basically extend to virtually everyone, including women. Let's be honest. Are women viable without men? Could they really maintain the infrastructure of our country, provide all the food source? I guess we should just kill women, and not even just women. Many men are inept and not able to actually function at a high level. Let's just be honest. We're all dependent to some level. That's just such a stupid argument, viability. And so, you know, I really hate abortion.
Oh,
God hates abortion.
God hates abortion. I hate abortion. It's legalized bloodshed of the most innocent lives among us. They want to butcher babies in the womb and then get up and say, oh, well, a woman can do whatever she wants with her own body, even though by every biological and scientific metric, it's not her body. It has its own separate DNA code. It has its own separate center of consciousness. That is a baby. It is another body. And just because it's not viable doesn't give you the right to kill it. I have toddlers living in my home, my own children. They're not viable. It doesn't mean that I could just slaughter them whenever the hell I feel like it. Sick, disgusting people on the left. You are Satan worshiping filth. That's what you are.
Tell me how you really feel.
I will calm down now.
Just kidding. I love the fire. You finally woke up. You know, we finally got you engaged. You're ready to talk about it. You know, someone needs to get mad about babies being slaughtered and killed. So, you know, I appreciate the rhetoric. Let's go ahead and let the retarded lady talk a little bit more.
His Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages. I think the American people believe that certain freedoms, in particular the freedom to make decisions about one's own body, should not be made by the government.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, just the lies. The government's not deciding your healthcare decisions, folks. It's just saying you can't murder people. That's not deciding your medical decisions. It's disingenuous. That's not even Trump's position anyways. So let's go ahead.
What are they arguing against? I'm just curious. He doesn't support Project 2025. What are they arguing against?
Nothing that he actually believes or says. But, you know, here's another thing that's frustrating, is that this is even a talking point in this conversation, that part of our country actually even cares about this or wants this. Like, this is such a losing talking point for both sides in the context of morality and Christianity. It's just like so bad, and it's so frustrating that our country even cares about this issue. Like, I mean, it's revolting.
It shouldn't be a debate.
I mean, to me, it makes me think of specifically how the Bible talks about in the end times there's gonna be people without natural affection, and what could be more reminiscent of that than a woman being willing to slaughtering her own.
The love of many shall wax cold, the Bible says.
I might try to find that Charlie Kirk clip here in a second and just put it on the screen, because it's just frustrating.
It is.
But I think we can, let's go ahead and play another clip here of the Trump thing. I'm going to see if I can pull up.
And understand what has been happening under Donald Trump's abortion bans. Couples who pray and dream of having a family are being denied IVF treatments. What is happening in our country? Working people, working women who are working one or two jobs, who can barely afford childcare as it is, have to travel to another state to get on a plane sitting next to strangers to go and get the health care she needs. Barely can afford to do it, and what you are putting her through is unconscionable. And the people of America have not, the majority of Americans believe in a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. And that is why in every state where this issue has been on the ballot, in red and blue states both, the people of America have voted for freedom.
Well, even if that is true, you know, that's because women are allowed to vote. You know, repeal the 19th Amendment immediately.
Yeah.
We have some people joining us in our spaces. If you'd like to, we can add you as a speaker, and you can come on the show and express your opinion.
Appreciate
here.
People tuning in.
I also shared the clip to our production crew that Charlie Kirk had some interaction. It was just released. I want to play this just because this is apparently who Kamala Harris is appealing to. Let's play this clip as well.
Okay, what's your name?
Naima.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, can I just ask, at how many weeks do you think that a fetus is viable?
Well, viability and moral worth are two different things.
No, but I'm asking you, at how many weeks
do you
think a fetus is
viable? Well, at about 20 weeks, a baby can survive outside of utero.
So it's actually 24 to 26 weeks?
Well, it's
weeks?
20. The youngest ever in a NICU unit actually happened in San Diego, not far from here, and survived at 20 weeks.
Okay, so under Roe v. Wade, 93% of abortions happened in the first 13 weeks of pregnancy. That's 93% of the abortions happened well before a fetus is technically viable
as a
form of
life. So let's go into viability. So what is it about, let's say, a six-week baby that has a heartbeat, its own DNA, fingerprint, brainwaves, that is less moral worth than an 88-year-old right now with dementia in a home down the street? That person requires assistance, requires help. Why is it that the six-week baby is of less moral worth?
Well, first of all, it's not a baby, it's a fetus.
Well, what does fetus mean?
A fetus is in utero.
What does fetus mean in Latin?
What the f***? I'm sorry, is this
language class? It means little human being.
This smile is very creepy. Okay.
Smiling is creepy?
No, your smile specifically.
Got it.
But let's go back.
Incredible.
We're losing track here.
No, but
that's
it,
when you know
species
you're losing
the
argument.
Fetus?
I know.
The fetus is not a species yet. It's technically classified as a parasite.
Hey, pause it for a second.
Until it is viable.
To hell.
A fetus,
according
to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is fetus, a developing human. Merriam-Webster. And that's not even Latin. That's just what it says. Specifically, a developing human from usually 2 months after conception to birth. So, you know, why is, you know, they like to use this terminology to hide behind their murder. Oh, it's just a fetus, or it's just cells, or just DNA, or it's just a whatever. You know, that's why I like the name of the heartbeat bill, even though I'm not really for that particular legislation. I think it should be at conception. But at least they're identifying, like, this is a heartbeat. You know, why in the world would you destroy a heartbeat? And I agree with that logic. It's just, let's go even further. And so, you know, they...
Isn't it the woman's heartbeat, according to their logic?
No.
Oh, no, it's a baby's heartbeat.
Oh, it's she has two heartbeats. She has two hearts.
Two hearts, four hands, four feet.
Let's keep going with this psychopath leftist.
So, no, I want to talk to you about something very quickly.
I can't let you get past that. Are you saying a baby is a disease or a tumor?
A parasite is not a disease and a tumor. Those are not the same thing. A parasite is defined as something that cannot survive outside of its host. A baby, before it is viable, cannot survive outside of a woman's womb.
Got it. So let's
explore. Let's pause that again, too. I would love to use the leftist logic here and see. A baby is a parasite. Okay. Well, let's look up the word parasite, too, because, you know, I guess leftists hate dictionaries. A parasite is an organism living in, on, or with another organism in order to obtain nutrients, grow, or multiply, often in a state that directly or indirectly harms the host. Oh, that was an inconvenient statement that she didn't bring up, that the parasite harms the host in its process of gaining nutrients and growing. So is that what the baby is doing? Is the baby harming the host? Or is it actually benefiting the host in any way? In fact, I've seen studies that say that women that give birth actually live longer lives than women who do not give birth. So did the fetus harm the host? Did the baby harm the host? Obviously, the woman is uncomfortable. Obviously, the woman, his body is changing. And of course, there's pain associated with childbirth. But there's no such thing as that literally long-term having harmful effects to the host. There's plenty of studies that show that women live longer. I mean, what kind of a sick phraseology to call a baby a parasite? What a sick, disgusting person.
It can only come from a repulsive, evil, demonic person. And that's exactly who that is up there. This is somebody who has been completely twisted by Satanism, by feminism, which is one and the same. Both of those concepts, one and the same. And you see it here manifesting right here in front of us. This is what happens when you hate God. This is what happens when you don't have the Bible, when you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, when you've completely rejected the Christian worldview and truth as a whole. You get this, calling a baby a parasite. What kind of freak are we looking at right here?
Well, and let's read some comments. Always Baptist says, that's not healthcare, you devil whore. Jesus Lover 122 says, just because the majority support it doesn't make it right. Swords to Plowshare says, life begins at conception. Jesus Lover 122, yeah, I've heard Dems call them parasites. It's sick. Pillar and Ground says, all the fetuses are going to come back in the resurrection and judge their murderous whore mothers with a sword.
They are bloodthirsty.
Swords to Plowshare says, exactly, Pillar. Always Baptist says, just a bunch of whores that want to drink and have sex without any consequences. We also have Jesus Lover 122 saying, what a demonic thing to call a human baby a quote, parasite. Lots of good comments in here, good interactions. If you'd like to try and join the show as a conversation, you can try to go to our spaces. I've dropped it in the chat a couple times. I have a few people join. I'll try to add you as a speaker. And we'd love to have a conversation with you as well. You can join in the conversation. We are going to play some more clips here. Let's go ahead and tee up the next clip for these wonderful presidential candidate options that we have here.
First, let me respond to the rallies. She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies. There's no reason to go. And the people that do go, she's busing them in and paying them to be there. And then showing them in a different light. So she can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back. Our country is being lost. We're a failing nation. And it happened 3.5 years ago. And what's going on here, you're going to end up in World War III, just to go into another subject. What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country, and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame. As far as rallies are concerned, as far as the reason they go is they like what I say.
Wow. You know, it's funny how she just laughs everything off as if it's not happening, but there's plenty of videos and reports of Haitian immigrants that have taken over Springfield, Ohio. I believe I've seen reports or seen people saying that there's 20,000 migrants that have been basically placed in this particular city. And I think that according to residents, they say that the migrants outnumber the local residents, that they were maybe approximately 16,000 residents in this city, and they just randomly drop off 20,000 migrants over a period of time, most of which are Haitians. And they're saying that the Haitians are given money for housing, they're giving money for food, but because they're also just, you know, not domesticated, they're literally just rounding up cats, dogs, and all kinds of local pets, stray animals, and they're cooking and eating them. I don't know how fringe that is. I don't know if that was like, this happened one time, this is happening regularly. You know, Fido is now on the dinner table for somebody out there. And I guess there was a billboard in Arizona. I saw this. I guess this is supposedly a real billboard. It shows all these kittens in a cow uniform saying that the Democrats are going to eat. It's like, save the kittens. It looks like a Chick-fil-A ad, kind of. I wonder if I can find that. Have you even heard about any of this?
I haven't heard about the Haitian migrants. That's news to me. Thanks for sharing that. I want to comment one last thing on the abortion, just in case you're new. Again, I think I'm anticipating new people tuning in. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And then in Matthew chapter 1, the New Testament parallel quotes Isaiah 7, and it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." So clearly, conception correlated to being with child according to Scripture. And this is an area in which both candidates are wrong. Trump is wrong on this, and it goes without saying Kamala is as well. Moving forward, we have Trump talking about rallies. To be fair, some people do leave Trump rallies. It's not because they don't like Trump or they're not happy with what he's saying or something like that. I've been to Trump rallies. I've seen people leave, and often it's because it's very hot. He's going on and on forever, and maybe they just need to sit down somewhere. People leave. So I think it happens. It just doesn't happen because they dislike him or something like that.
Can you pull up my browser window? Because I'm kind of curious.
I'm interested
about this.
On this here.
This is Snopes. So Snopes reported on this.
What billboard?
Arizona GOP launches Eat Less Kittens billboards.
Now, why
referencing
the Eat Less
unfounded conspiracy
kittens
theory? So it appears, when I kind of skimmed through this article quickly, it appears like Snopes is not saying that these billboards aren't true. They're saying that the conspiracy theory is unfounded. But I believe that this is a legitimate thing, that in Arizona they literally have this billboard. I don't know if
who's eating kittens.
Someone says it looks photoshopped. I don't know. Let's see. I'm kind of curious. A mock-up image of the billboard's design showed four kittens dressed as cows. A post on the party's Facebook. New AOZ billboard, Eat Less Kittens, blah, blah, blah. Arizona Republican Party. Eat Less Kittens, Vote Republican. This campaign highlights blah, blah, blah. If you're driving in Phoenix, keep out an eye for it. They say they are live. Catch our newest billboard across 12 locations in the Phoenix metro area. I think that, you know, maybe someone said it looks photoshopped. Well, I'm sure the image itself is photoshopped. I mean, obviously, I don't think they got kittens to put on cow uniforms and take a photo op. But this person says also, yes, this is a real billboard in Arizona. The media is going all out to cover up these stories about illegal aliens eating people's pets. They don't want the truth out there. Too late. Here
the
is
illegals like kittens.
I mean, it does look a little photoshopped. I'm not going to lie.
I thought it was the Chinese that... Oh, no, that's a dog's.
I don't think that this article says that that's not true. Like, the billboard's not true. I think it's just saying that the information in the billboard is not accurate. I'm kind of curious. Yeah. Is anybody in the chat or somewhere that lives in Arizona that maybe knows if that's even true. I don't know, but we did have somebody that is joined as a speaker in our spaces. I want to see, again, we're just testing these things out. I think we have Eternal Chud. Can you hear us in there? Can you speak?
Hey, Pastor Shelley, can you hear me?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on. And hey, I listened to that Spaces yesterday. That was excellent. So I appreciate you doing that. That went on for a while, but a lot of good information there. Anyway,
yeah, I was grateful to get the opportunity.
Yeah, that was great. So yeah, I just was going to weigh in on the Haitian migrant thing. So, you know, maybe there's a bit of an exaggeration going on, but we know the Democrats like to run hoaxes. You know, they've been going on about the fine people hoax for years and the drinking bleach hoax and the Trump calling, you know, the general suckers and losers hoax or the, you know, soldiers, whatever. So I think they're just running out of hoaxes to run. And so they're, I expect that they're probably going to just hone in on this one and say, the Republicans are exaggerating about this Haitian migrant thing. But all I've seen so far is that you got a video of like this woman in, I guess it was Ohio, you know, carrying the dead cat. She got caught eating the cat. So that's like a documented video. And then you also have, the recent photo this week of, you know, a Haitian man walking down the street carrying a dead goose. You know, it's not a pet, but it's like people in our country aren't just going and, you know, whacking geese on the street, carrying them around, cooking them on the side of the road. So, you know, this is also probably related to their voodoo religion. You know, this is the kind of stuff they do down there. They just eat anything. So I think that's a kind of a big concern with the immigration coming for me as a, you know, a Baptist Christian, is like, I don't want my kids growing up in this country with all these other gods, all these foreign influences pouring in. Yeah, and so this is the big reason I'm a Trump supporter, is, you know, we need to close the border and try to preserve, like he said tonight, the fabric of what we have. You know, I know it's gone to hell and last 50 years haven't been so great, but, you know, it could still be recoverable and people can turn back to God. We see that repeatedly throughout scripture. So if you have anything to add to that.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's even a question whether or not Trump's better than Kamala, as far as at least what they say. You know, I mean, again, if we try to say that these politicians are going to be somewhat honest with their campaign, they're going to do some of the things that they said. It seems like the establishment hates Trump. It seems like from the surface that Trump is going to be better. Now, whether or not that's true, I think is unknowable. Obviously, Trump, his presidency was better than Obama. I mean, it was way better than Obama. And yet at the end of his presidency, it was bad. I mean, COVID came in. He allowed that stuff to happen. And he hasn't even really taken some of that back. So, you know, it's hard to even say for sure to me if Trump is going to be better. I feel like because of the way our country is run, the president doesn't have as much power as we really wish that maybe he has in this particular scenario. But, you know, I can totally understand why people want Trump to be, elected president. And I'm empathetic towards that position. I'm not hating on people for that, because I totally understand that it doesn't mean that they like Trump or think he's saved or think he's a Christian or any of that kind of stuff. And I understand their mindset. But at the same time, I guess it's unknowable whether it's even a better option. I mean, what is your perspective on this, Ben?
I think it's a better option on the surface. We will see how his presidency plays out if he somehow gets in. But I would probably say, yeah, Trump is, you know, for sure a better choice. And it all comes down to whether or not he will fulfill some of his campaign promises as it relates to immigration, as it relates to the economy and things of that nature. So that does remain.
But he didn't lock her up in 2016.
I mean, right. So that's what I'm saying, is I think things can change after he gets elected. But if he's going to follow through with the things that he's promising, I think the potential is there for Trump to be a pretty good president.
Eternal, what do you think about the likelihood of Trump honoring his promises or being able to even do some of the things he says?
Well, I see him as, you know, a salesman. So it's obvious that he's hyperbolic. He exaggerates. But I think directionally, you know, what he's talking about is true, even if it's not exactly accurate all the time. And as a salesman working on behalf of the people, you know, that's kind of his job. So I'm happy that, you know, he's, you know, you saw tonight in the debate, they wanted to get on this race question at the, towards the end, all this social muck that the Democrats just love to wallow in. And, you know, he completely pivoted the question back to core issues like the economy, foreign policy, you know, just things that the government actually should be involved with administrating. So I can tell his focus is obviously a lot more adept for the job. And I would agree that the president probably isn't actually running everything, as the public perceives, probably more of like a middle manager. But still, that middle manager position is important to affect overall sentiment, you know, for the observers throughout the country and the international economy. Look, I don't expect Trump is just going to step in and save us within 4 years. We've been on a rapid decline, but I think it is a chance to pump the brakes, you know, versus it's kind of a vote for let's try to slow down the decline versus let's rapidly accelerate it further.
This is an analogy I came up with, and it's like you're on a boat. It's got a couple holes in it. It's sinking. And one option is to put a sock in one of the holes, and the other option is to blow like 10 more holes in the boat. And I feel like Trump is like the sock. Like, it's not going to fix the problem, but it doesn't hurt the problem. It just kind of maybe for a very, very short temporary moment might stop a little bit of water leaking on the boat, but there's still other holes. The water's going to get soaked, and it's going to let water come back in again. Whereas I guess that's obviously better than just blowing more holes in the boat. But, you know, I don't really see it as a solution. It's just kind of like, obviously it's not a brain. It's not like purposely trying to destroy the nation. What do you think about that, Ben?
I think that your analogy is appropriate because Trump, and really no man, I mean, let's just be honest, no man will be the ultimate solution to America's problems, but certainly not Trump, with all of his pitfalls especially accounting for them. I have a question for you, though, and I want to throw it back over to you. Can Trump somehow, though, enable Christians to then provide the true solution? We always talk about the King James Bible and a return to the Lord Jesus Christ is what can save America. Is it possible that through Trump policies that perhaps unknowingly even he can enable us to come in and be a little more effective? What do you think about that?
Well, you have William Tyndale in his dying breath saying, open the King of England's eyes. I think that, you know, that would be maybe apropos or a similar type situation where maybe, you know, you could hope that Trump would open his eyes. But I think, again, if we contextualize that quote, that's a king. A king actually has the ability to really move mountains if he wants it, whereas the president is, again, a little bit more figurehead, not as powerful as we necessarily would perceive, I think, in some cases. So I think you just need a cultural change. I don't think you need a presidential change. I think you need a revival of the culture. But having the president bringing up the King James Bible and embracing Christianity would certainly help bolster that. The Bible does tell us to pray for kings and to honor the king, and I think that's in the context of trying to draw the nation back to God. And, you know, we see wicked people. We see Ahab. We see other kings that were pretty bad, and even Manasseh, which is crazy, at one point kind of get right with God. And so is it possible? I don't know. I mean, he almost got assassinated. I would think at that point, that's what, like, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know. Maybe the right person doesn't come along? Maybe the heart was softened? I don't know.
What I'm more referring to isn't Trump necessarily coming out and saying, let's all be King James only or something like that. But what I more so mean is maybe through his policy, that he plans to implement. Maybe he does something about the censorship. Maybe the immigration, curbing immigration helps us out in some way. I'm just wondering if his platform can maybe aid our mission as Christians in some way, shape, or form.
Well, you think I kind of want to play this clip too, but I don't want to get too far off the debate yet. But the Josh Hawley, he's gotten up and said, like, we need to get back to faith in Jesus Christ and be a Christian nation again. And, you know, he's a person that at least is saying the right things, whether he believes them. I don't really know a lot about what he necessarily believes specifically. But, I mean, just some of the rhetoric I heard sounded really good. And, yeah, of course, I would love to see a debate where someone actually said that instead of let's kill, you know, babies for incest and rape and stuff like that. But
I do think Trump can be pressured.
Let's play some more of this clip, and if you know, we'll keep Eternal in here as a speaker, and we may go back to you. But if you want to join us on Spaces, we can add some more people as speakers. Let's go ahead and play a little bit more of this clip, and then we'll jump back to the debate.
She was big on defund the police in Minnesota. She went out. Wait a minute, I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar?
Don't lie.
She went out. She went out in Minnesota and wanted to let criminals that killed people, that burned down Minneapolis, she went out and raised money to get them out of jail. She did things that nobody would ever think of. Now she wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens that are in prison. This is a radical left liberal that would do this. She wants to confiscate your guns, and she will never
allow fracking in Pennsylvania. She didn't call him a liar.
If she won the election, fracking in Pennsylvania will end on day one. Just to finish one thing.
Oh, that's it's important to get some of those Pennsylvania things in there, because Pennsylvania is going to decide this election pretty much, in my opinion. You know, if you really look at the breakdown, it's kind of almost impossible for Trump to win without Pennsylvania. And if the Democrats do procure Pennsylvania, it seems like it's pretty much a shoo-in. You kind of have to ask yourself, how fair is the election going to be with Josh Shapiro as governor? But in the previous election, I think they're the ones that were famous for putting the big white billboard or white poster boards up on the windows. I think in Pittsburgh. Maybe I'd be correct.
I thought that was Detroit.
Was it Philadelphia?
I thought it was Detroit. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I thought that happened in Detroit. We can fact check.
Let's fact check that. We can fact check it live, okay?
I like the clip there. I'll just say that that's Trump at his best when he's attacking. I want him in attack mode, not just constant defense mode.
Let's see. Maybe does anybody know in the chat if that was where that was? I thought it was Pennsylvania specifically. Maybe you're. Let me see. I'm trying.
Seemed
to look
like
at
Detroit.
Some of these.
Do we still have the person on Spaces? Maybe he can help.
Do you know? Do you know Eternal? Okay, this one says Michigan. It might have been both, but perhaps it was. It looks like it's definitely Michigan, for sure. I don't know if it was also another place.
So,
okay.
Like, I'll
have to take that back.
I think I was right on that.
For the first time ever on air, folks.
Can you put a penny in the Ben was right jar?
Ben was right. All right, go ahead and let's keep playing the next clip here.
Excuse me. Every one of those cases was started by them against their political opponent. And I'm winning most of them, and I will win the rest on appeal. And you saw that with the decision that came down just recently from the Supreme Court. I'm winning most of them. But those are cases, it's called weaponization. Never happened in this country. They weaponized the Justice Department. Every one of those cases was involved with the DOJ, from Atlanta and Fannie Willis to the Attorney General of New York and the DA in New York. Every one of those cases. And then they say, oh, he's a criminal. They're the ones that made them go after me. By the way, Joe Biden was found essentially guilty on the documents case. And what happened in my documents case? They said, oh, that's the toughest of them all. A complete and total victory. 2 months ago, it was thrown out. It's weaponization, and they used it, and it's never happened in this country. They used it to try and win an election.
Right. Still not calling him a liar.
President Trump, thank you.
He's right. I mean, everything he said was right.
But think about this. She's constantly interrupting when she felt like it was a lie. Mm-hmm. She didn't interrupt there either, did she?
She shut her mouth.
The weaponization of government is a really scary thing, because if they go after Trump, let's be honest, they're going to go after anybody. And I don't know if you remember this, but the past election, we did a live stream, and I said, the one thing I like about Trump is he's kind of like a target and a shield unto us, and that if he goes, they're going to put a lot more heat on us specifically. Do you remember me saying this?
You did. Yeah, you said this in the 2020 stream we did.
Did we have any extra heat from 2020 until now?
2020 until now.
Anything crazy happened to Steadfast Baptist Church?
In fact.
In any of those timelines?
A lot of it. And it happened in the Biden presidency.
So, you know, I hate to be right on that point.
There was prophecy on that stream 4 years ago.
I could see it happening. That's what I do like about Trump, is he's a little bit of a shield for a lot of the hate, a lot of the attention, you know, and he's even said that. He says, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in the way. And I have to say, it feels like that's true from anecdotal evidence.
I've heard and I've entertained folks who believe that Trump is like in the club, or he's in the New World Order, or he's part of the globalist establishment in some way. But the thing is, like, when they tried to assassinate him, that to me just ended all talk about that, and it made it not valid. Now, I understand folks will come back and say, well, that whole thing was fake and whatever.
How about the lawfare, being drained of all of his money? Like, who would sign up for that? Who would sign up to be hated by everybody?
I'm not into that. I don't believe that.
He had property seized in New York. He had all of this, just these judges coming after him, the corruption, the smears, the attack. I mean, like, I just don't see why he would want to do that as an individual. You know, to me, it's clear that there's at least two forces vying for power in the political sphere, probably even more. And that, is he possibly in with some dark people, some bad people? Sure. Is it possible that it's the same evil people and they're playing both sides? That could even be true. But I don't think he's working with the Democrats directly. I think that narrative just doesn't really fit with a lot of the other evidence.
Yeah, and the weaponization of the justice system, we've seen it over the years. It's happening. And it's happening to him. And, you know, whether you think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread or the devil incarnate, I think you could agree that they have attacked him vehemently. The media is almost on like a 24/7 rampage against this guy. He's very much hated. So again, some people say, well, that's part of the theater. I just personally don't see it that way. I respect your opinion if that's what you believe. I'm just not there. It's not what I personally would hold to.
We added another speaker into our space. Interesting name, Schmolocaust. So we'll see.
Holocaust, Schmolocaust.
You know, whatever. How's it going? Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Is it clear?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Good deal. Well, I've just been listening, and it's kind of a conversation on what actions we take and what do we do with our vote this cycle. Sorry about
that. The Haitians haven't gotten to Schmolocaust yet because his dog's still alive, folks. So
yeah, right. Not up here. I'll let you know if I see him coming. But I was just, my thoughts are that What would happen if 2016 was a contest between Jeb Bush and Hillary? What would we?
Yeah, I think for sure Hillary would have won.
You have, right?
Don't you agree, Ben?
But like, where would we be in our world view at this point? Or where would I be? Because a lot of people got into politics because of Trump. Well, would you be on Twitter without Trump? Would you,
the Bolshevik Revolution might have already happened
Nick
to us.
Fuentes. right.
In my experience, a lot of these mainline Republicans.
Distrust of the media.
Let's let him finish. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I think it's the intangibles that have been accomplished by Trump more than actual policy that have really changed. I mean, take for instance, I know you had a raw egg nationalist on, and so the conversation about masculinity, what that have happened without Trump? I think, you know, just intangibles like that instead of actual, like, what has Trump done for us?
Oh, I mean, I was, you know, and I hated
you, Hillary would you have
Clinton.
Been red pilled?
I, the fact that Trump was just like, I mean, I thought that with Obama becoming president, our country was doomed. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I personally thought, and I even voted for Romney. But, you know, and I'm not trying to say that was a good move because he's a Mormon, but I knew that Obama was bringing Obamacare. I knew that he was going to change America and it was going to be horrible. And, you know, I was really upset that Obama was elected president. And, you know, again, with Hillary, right. I thought it was going to be even worse. I'm like, man, she's going to be. And again, the Bible says that if we have a woman leader, we're cursed. So, you know. I think if we have Kamala, we're cursed for sure.
It's the thing that. Well, that's what motivates me, if anything, to vote for Trump. Not that I'm in a Democrat state, but I mean, can you imagine a woman president?
I mean, you know, it's harder for me to say because I'm in Texas, and you know, if we lose Texas, it's not because of me not voting. It's because they cheated, because Texas will for sure go Republican in a free and fair election. And I think that I could see how people that live in California or live in Texas or some of these other states, they could feel a little bit just disenfranchised from their vote mattering or from their vote counting. And so, you know, again, I think this discussion, unfortunately, for people that live in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Ohio, Michigan, you know, some of these states, it's a little bit more of a practical decision. Like, do they get involved? And, you know, again, I'm not throwing shade at people that want to vote for Trump because I get it. It just, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm kind of a moral purist, so I still don't even know that I would do it. But I'm
exactly. If someone can't say that they're anti-abortion, then what business do I have voting for them? You know what I mean? But then again, you were talking to I can't remember his name, but the discussion about the rigged election.
Yeah,
saying, you know, Nick Fuentes is exactly. Yep. Nick Fuentes is, you know, as of right now saying don't vote for Trump, but our people in like Michigan and Wisconsin, are they going to actually withhold their vote? Or is it just people like me who say, oh, he said 6 weeks is too short, really matter anyways, because I'm in a blue state.
I don't know. I don't know what the impact is going to be. I think that was a good space that we had the other day, and you know, if people want to get a better perspective, I think that we covered a lot of topics there and a lot of opinions. But you know, I don't know. I really appreciate your comments. Let's play. We'll keep you here on as a speaker, but let's play a little bit more of this debate, and let's kind of keep getting through some of this, because I'm not sure you brought up some of the points that I haven't quite got to, so I'm kind of curious.
Mr. President, on January 6th, you told your supporters to march to the Capitol. You said you would be right there with them. The country and the world saw what played out of the Capitol that day, the officers coming under attack. Aides in the West Wing say you watched it unfold on television off the Oval Office. You did send out tweets, but it was more than 2 hours before you sent out that video message telling your supporters to go home. Is there anything you regret about what you did on that day?
You just said a thing that isn't covered peacefully and patriotically. I said during my speech, not later on. Peacefully and patriotically. And nobody on the other side was killed. Ashley Babbitt was shot by an out of control police officer that should have never, ever shot her. It's a disgrace. But we didn't do this group of people that have been treated so badly. I ask, what about all the people that are pouring into our country and killing people?
I mean, good
pivots
point.
To immigration.
I thought that was a good talking point. What do you think? He did a good job on that.
Well, yeah, and he should pivot because it's a stupid, rigged question by a leftist media there.
But he still answered it.
He answered it, and then he pivots to immigration. But I think he answered it fine. This is just an illustration of the media bias. We have the Baptist bias. They have the Satan bias.
I love the devil bias. Yeah, let's play another clip.
They have the devil's bias.
How many more? I'm just kind of curious. What kind of clips do we have left, Ben? Let me just ask you.
You might ask her that question.
You were the president. You were watching it unfold on television. It's a very simple question as we move forward toward another election.
Look, he's still going.
Is there anything you regret about what you did on that day?
No. Because it was an FBI operation.
I had
operation.
Nothing to do with that other than they asked me to make a speech. I showed up for a speech. I said, I think it's going to be big. I went to Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington, D.C., and the mayor put it back in writing, as you know. I said, you know, this is going to be a very big rally or whatever you want to call it. And again, it wasn't done by me. It was done by others. I said, I'd like to give you 10,000 National Guard or soldiers. They rejected me. Nancy Pelosi rejected me. It was just 2 weeks ago. Her daughter has a tape of her saying she is fully responsible for what happened. They want to get rid of that tape. It would have never happened if Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington did their jobs. I wasn't responsible for security. Nancy Pelosi was responsible. She didn't do her job.
The question was...
Good point. I want to read a comment. Pillar and Ground says, I appreciate him not shilling hard for the Jews tonight, even though Kamala baited him. Again, we didn't watch the entire debate in full form, but we got some of the highlights here. And it appears that, you know, I didn't get to see the whole thing, get a whole feel for it. But it kind of feels like it was kind of a wash. I don't know. It doesn't seem like maybe much ground was made either way, which is probably a Kamala win. I don't know. What do you think?
Impossible for me to say without... I got to sit down and watch from beginning to end. But I have liked the Trump clips. There's a few things that piss me off about him, his abortion stance, things like that. But the Trump clips I've seen, I think he's done a good job. The ones that we've been watching tonight and... again, I think when you look at the way that he's handling this rigged garbage question about January 6th, attaching him with the responsibility for an FBI inside job that happened on that day, the deep state inside job that happened on that day, is preposterous to anyone with a working brain. But this is just the left-wing playbook, is to claim that their opponents are inciting violence, when in fact they're the ones who do that on a regular basis. They're the ones who radicalize people, like the LGBT sodomite fags who go up and shoot schools.
Well, it just seems like, you know, from my perspective, again, I didn't watch the whole thing, but it seems like they just needed her to get up there, cackle a few times, call him a liar, repeat a few talking points, and then just make it seem like... Trump said a bunch of lies and Kamala stood strong and she called him out as a liar, as all the headlines. And then they can just say, oh, Kamala's even polling higher now. You know, she's getting 150% of the vote now. So, you know,
I agree with your assessment.
I think the only way she could have lost is she just like totally just was inept.
Yes.
Just
well, think about how low the bar was with Biden. Last time.
I mean,
that was...
That's true. Or if Trump got a couple really good one-liners on top of her, but I didn't see that. Again, I didn't see the whole debate. I think that all of his points made sense and they were clear. It just wasn't necessarily like noteworthy. Like, this is going to be viral. This is going to blow up the internet.
Because you'd be in jail.
Yeah. That was pretty epic.
Great line.
It feels like it was kind of a nothing burger and the headlines are going to run that Kamala won and... You know, debates, sometimes they can just kind of feel like nobody won or, that, you know, both sides just kind of claim victory, but it wasn't really decisive. I don't know. What are your thoughts here? Maybe the chat can help us.
Not an election-changing debate like the last one.
For any of you
was.
That watched the debate, did you think that there was a clear winner? What was your responses? Maybe we can get some feedback. Is there, give us a T if T won, give us some K's.
T, that's hilarious.
Give us some K's if.
Who's going to put K? Come on.
Maybe, okay, W. Well, I would say W for whore, but it seems like a win.
Yeah, so that's win.
I don't want to put that in there.
The last debate was election changing. This one, not so much, arguably, based on what we've seen so far. Of course, we were recording during it, so
let's ask. Eternal. Did you kind of watch more of the debate than some of the clips we shared? I'm just kind of curious what your overall opinion was of the.
Yeah, I finished the whole thing.
I mean, I thought Trump did have a lot of good moments. I don't think they were like really sound bites per se, but I don't know if you noticed anytime he had a really nice finisher, you know, something that would have been difficult for her to respond to. Moderators kind of just assisted her by sweeping it and just letting it go quiet, letting it fall, and then just, you know, introducing a new topic to her. So she had very few follow-ups where she was actually engaging his criticisms. You know, he came off more critical, more negative, but there's a lot to be negative about. And I think, if anything, you know, with the last 3-4 years, the American public is pretty fed up, and Trump is tapping into that vein. So I think people will resonate with the way he was coming across tonight. She was also making a lot of faces while he was talking. I don't think that's not gonna help her out. I mean, what is she gonna make faces to foreign leaders when she goes and meets them and she doesn't like what they're saying? Yeah, it just doesn't look very professional.
I don't even think they'll want to meet her. They don't want to get AIDS or something. But someone put here in the chat, always Baptist, Trump was a clear winner. Kamala just said nothing over and over. Jenny RAS said, I watched it and feel like Trump won because he hammered home that everything she's saying she'll do, she could have been doing right now. I think that's an excellent point. I'm glad to hear that he did bring that home and did at least address that.
She's in power now.
It's just thinking like, why aren't you fixing our country now? Why aren't you fixing our border now? Why aren't you fixing the economy now? Like, why aren't you doing anything? I mean, it's so funny. Have you seen these videos where they're asking Kamala supporters, like, name your favorite thing that Kamala did in office, or name your favorite policy? And they're just like, she's great, you know.
Orange man,
just love her. Yeah, it was just like they were obviously caught, and they have no idea what they liked about her. And I'd like to put you on the hot spot here, Ben. Name your favorite thing Trump did in his presidency of 2016 to 2020.
That's a good one. Let's see.
We want to be fair to the leftists. Can if we put you on the hot spot, can you think of anything? Just name something you liked. It doesn't have to be your favorite.
No new wars. I appreciated his foreign policy as president. And in particular, what I thought was pretty cool is his diplomacy with Russia, which the media hated. They want World War III badly, and they want us to be adversarial to Russia. So the highlight of Trump's presidency for me was how he handled his foreign policy decisions, specifically as it relates to Russia, getting along with Putin, and additionally, visiting North Korea and walking across the DMZ in a badass move, and also a show of diplomacy, wanting to make deals with these people rather than saber-rattling with them. Now, he did do that at first with Kim Jong-un on Twitter, calling him Rocket Man, but eventually they went to the negotiation table, and I applaud leaders who are willing to negotiate, who are willing to meet and try to come to some kind of agreement rather than perpetuating the forever wars that America has been involved with for decades. So I would point to those events.
Let's put our guest here. Eternal, do you have something that you liked from the presidency?
Yeah, I mean, the immigration numbers were, you know, suppressed about year three. And,
who built the cages, Joe? No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I think he spent a lot of the presidency kind of being defensive. You know, there was just this whole, you know, the Steele dossier and all these attacks from the media coming at him. So he was able to accomplish quite a lot. You know, he didn't take all these vacations like Biden's been doing. I mean, Biden's been out of office the majority.
What does
of his
Biden
presidency.
Do?
Exactly. So I think he's, you know, he has a lot of energy. He's a very active president. I agree with Ben. The foreign policy was solid. But I think he could probably accomplish a lot more as a lame duck president. You know, because then all these targets on him wouldn't matter so much.
Yeah. I want to read some of the chat because they put some stuff in here. So, hey, we're not leftists. We're not just dumbfounded by the question.
It did always, take me a second to
yeah,
think,
and
to
that's
be
fair.
Clear.
I think that's fair that it takes a second, but I'm just saying you came up with an answer. Always Baptist said the wall. That's an interesting point. Nate E. Rain said he began the widespread distrust of the media. I like that point. And I have to be honest, the fake news was pretty good.
How he handled the media.
Yeah,
was good.
I thought that was pretty legit. Amy Lead said, drilled our own oil. And, you know, hey, that was a pretty good point. Pillar and Ground said the Kim Jong-un meeting was really bad. A. Nady Rain said, almost bought Greenland. I don't know anything about that one.
I don't know what that person's talking about.
Swords to Plowster says at least our economy is better under Trump, and that's about it. I want to ask this question. I think so. Didn't he kind of end Obamacare, or didn't he put a cease to that? Maybe we can fact check.
Repeal
that
and replace is what he ran on in 2016. So I would imagine he did
Obamacare repeal.
I think one of the
and replace. Let's
one
see.
Of the things about the Trump presidency that I like too is that I feel like it woke up a lot of these mainline Republicans that voted for Bush and thought that the GOP was inherently good, because when they saw the establishment on both sides of the political aisle going after him, I think it demonstrated to them and showed that there is a deep state, there is a uniparty force, the ruling class, that plays ball with both teams and both sides of the political spectrum. And it really helped to get these people to recognize that and become aware of that, I think.
So, okay, so a lot of people helped me in the comments. They said, no, he ended the tax. So he didn't get it repealed, I guess. He just got rid of the insurance mandate, which, I'll be honest, I actually had to pay the mandate every single year. So I was grateful that we got rid of that. We had a couple other people join us in the spaces. Quad Life, well, I guess they just they were there for a second. We have another one, Joanna. Let's go ahead and see. Can you hear us?
Yes, I could hear you.
How's it going?
Good. I just love your show. I go to Faithful Word Tucson.
Awesome. Did you watch any of the debate, or were you watching our show? Or
yeah, I watched the entire debate, actually.
So what were your thoughts on, and what was your overall opinion of the debate?
I found it very interesting. It almost seemed like the people running the debate were really on Kamala's side. Like, she always had a chance to kind of keep talking. And I don't know. I really thought it was very biased, in the sense of they were kind of left-leaning. And then they asked Trump, they asked about Kamala now being black when she used to be Indian or something, and I just found that kind of funny. Like, they were kind of trying to bring up that he pretty much insulted her, and it just seemed like not very important to the debate. So the fact that they would even bring it up was kind of dumb.
Yeah, well, it is kind of interesting. She's Indian and talking black, about, right? Supposedly.
Yeah, and her accent changes depending on who she's talking to, too. I don't know if you guys saw the videos of that. How
she doesn't seem very black as far as her persona or how she communicates or how she carries herself, except for when it's convenient. She also doesn't seem very Indian, honestly. I mean, it just seems like she's kind of being a chameleon here with her perception. I don't know. What do you think, Ben? Do you think she seems a particular way?
No, I just think she's a disingenuous whore.
Well, that's pretty blunt, but sure.
This is a woman who's done untold damage and during her political career and will continue to do so. And I'd like to see if there would ever be a moderator who would ask her if she regrets anything that she's done during her political career. But of course, that'll never happen, because the moderator tonight was assisting her. You brought up stepping in. Somebody brought up stepping in whenever it seemed like she needed help. And she has the full weight of the political system and the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party, the media, behind her. We'll see if that's enough, if they can rig it again to steal this one like they did in 2020.
So, Joanna, did you feel like Trump still kind of won the debate, even though it was pretty biased, or what was your kind of thoughts on that?
I think he did. I think they made her look a lot better than I thought she was going to look. I really thought that she was going to give more, more fuel to the media to make fun of her, you know, and she actually had sentences that were put together. She wasn't making her normal comments or funky little laugh. Looks like she stopped doing that. So I was really looking forward to her more doing more like bombing it a little bit more than what she did.
Yeah, that's why I almost say it seems like maybe from the perception, they're going to kind of run with the fact that she won the debate, even though obviously she couldn't make an articulate point. She was lying. She was confused. She has bad policy decisions. She's an airhead. She's a whore. There's really nothing positive we could say about her at all. But, you know, I guess to me, I was thinking that she was going to have to just get body slammed several times for it to make any kind of impact. And, so that is it's in my mind kind of disappointing. You know, there wasn't. I think the Hillary debate was actually pretty active, pretty spicy, a lot of good sound bites, and it doesn't seem like that was necessarily pulled out. I think if I could, you know, wish for something, I would want Trump to have maybe put a spicy comment about her relationship with Brown. You know, from the past, I think he could have probably dropped that, but. Maybe because of his own moral failings in that particular issue, he's afraid. But I'm thinking, like, she probably can't come back, you know, on the fly if he really dropped the hammer and called her a whore. So I don't know. But it is what it is, Ben. You know, wouldn't you like to see him just drop a big hammer on her with maybe the whore comment or something?
Yes, yeah. Go after her. Stop defending. Go on attack. Attack mode. Attack, 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 attack. With no remorse. That would be how I would advise him.
Do you think that he's holding back because they're trying to convince him to win more women over?
He's got advisors. He's got advisors.
Or something.
I agree. He's got advisors coaching him, as does Kamala. And we have our contributor on Spaces bringing up that Kamala didn't do her usual inarticulate antics. And I think that's because she has advisors that gave her memorized points to regurgitate, and she did a good job regurgitating them as a puppet. But Trump does have advisors as well, and I think that they are coaching him to dial things back a little bit to appeal to, quote, moderates.
I'm kind of curious because my wife had messaged me and said that there was a spot where Trump had said that Kamala's policies were like run, spot, run. Did you remember that, Joanna, from the debate?
We played it.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Okay. Yeah, he pretty much said that she's taking over Joe Biden's plan. Pretty much she doesn't have her own plan. She's just kind of running on the coattails of that.
Yeah.
How does Mrs. Shelley view this whole thing? Is she a Trump? Like, what does she think about Trump? Is it identical?
She was excited to watch the debate. She was excited. She kind of likes the entertainment aspect. Obviously she gets mad about Kamala just being an airhead brainless, you know, whore. And so, you know, she's a smart cookie. She can usually tell what's going up. So I really appreciate her commentary too. We had another speaker. I don't know. It seems like it kind of just ebbs and flows here on X. I don't know. We had JD in as a speaker. I don't know if he's still here or not, but,
JD Vance or what?
I think so. I think it was definitely. I think we're getting Trump. Trump's about to join.
Trump's going
to
join too.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have one more clip. Let's play one more clip. If JD is in there, we can add him as a speaker again, or
we're very proud to do it. I would say we would both leave this debate right now. I'd like to see her go down to Washington D.C. during this debate because we're wasting a lot of time. Go down.
That was a quick clip. Go down to Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. The camera cuts out here, and then we
to
should
do
be
it. They don't need bills. They have the right to do it. The president of the United States, you'll get him out of bed. You'll wake him up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. You'll say, come on down to the office. Let's sign a bill. If he signs a bill that the border is closed, all he has to do is say it to the Border Patrol, who are phenomenal. If they do that, the border is closed.
Mr. President,
those people are killing many people, unlike J6.
We talked to immigration.
So I guess he's really saying, like, hey, if you're going to close the border, do it now.
He hammers immigration constantly.
It's a big talking point.
I was just going to ask you, How big of an issue is that for you?
Well, whether it's a big issue to me or not doesn't matter, because I did say if I was his campaign manager, let's just focus on the few issues that matter and just hammer them and just bring them up over and over and over. You know, of course, he got trapped into the abortion conversation a little bit too much, I think, in this debate. You're kind of forced, I guess, you know, whatever questions they bring up. But just hammer. I mean, I would have liked to have seen him just bring up the immigration and the abortion question. Just say, well, the reason why you're even having this discussion is because all these illegals are coming across the border raping people.
Oh, man.
They're rapists.
That's a good point.
How about when he said, isn't that a 2016 talking point? Where he says, they're not sending their brightest.
Yeah, that's
or is it a 2020?
2015, actually, when he first announced he was running for president.
They're not sending their best folks. They're sending rapists.
They're rapists.
They're rapists. Predators. And then they were like, Trump calls all Hispanic people rapists or something like that. But I mean, yeah, it's definitely happening. It's a talking point. So, you know, I would have liked him to seem just pivot every single time.
Like
just the fact that she's a whore and the border. the border czar is just like she does with her men, open for business.
Oh, man.
Kamala Harris is just like the cats out there. She's the town bicycle. Everybody gets a ride. Hey, these are all games anyways,
yeah,
folks.
It's all fake.
Just go hard. Call them fake news. This is your time to just be just on fire, and that's what I would like to see. But, you know, that's just – maybe it's just because I only want the entertainment anyways.
No, I want to see that too, and I want to see entertainment as well. But that is where Trump is at his best, when he's on offense and he's able to get the zingers in there and really go after his opponents. You know, when he comes up with these one-liners, low-energy Jeb from back in the Republican primaries, the first go-around – Crooked Hillary. I mean, this is where he excels in my mind, and it's unfortunate that his advisors just keep telling him to dial it back. But I think in the debate clips that we've seen so far, although there wasn't necessarily that one viral moment, I do think he was showing some aggressiveness in the clips, and I applaud him for that. And, you know, hopefully he continues. But the thing with Kamala, and you brought this up, the fact that she wasn't a complete and utter stumbling, bumbling, incoherent mess like Biden was last time is going to be viewed by the leftist media as a massive win. And I'm sure they're going on multiple victory laps right now, talking about how wonderful their dear leader performed tonight.
You know, I always look at Drudge Report just to see whatever the left is talking point's going
to
be.
Can you believe? I mean, because, they used to be conservative.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
They used to be pro-Trump.
Yeah.
They were super pro-Trump and even argued that they helped Trump win the presidency in 2016. But
maybe they killed Matt Drudge or something.
I feel like the Drudge Report is a great way to just figure out what the left is going to talk about next and what their next move is.
Yes.
Here's the title at the top, The Night Trump Lost It All. And then they have a picture of him with a bunch of cats and a ducks and says the quote, the end. So, hey, I'm just saying what they're going to do. They're going to say he lost it. He's crazy. It's kind of a funny looking picture. I don't know if you can see it. I'll show it to you, Ben. Maybe they can.
He's hanging out here, with some dogs.
I'll pull it up on my browser.
It's probably because they think his claim about the pets being eaten is complete fiction.
Drudge Report, folks. It's the end. Trump with the cats. But, hey, I mean, it's not a bad talking point. So, you know, they say, oh, someone says Drudge is Jewish. I wouldn't be surprised. I think he might be. Is he like a homo or something? I don't know. I don't know a lot about
a homo,
Drudge.
A Jew? This guy's getting attacked left.
Sorry
and right
if he's
here.
Not. So I don't know. I don't run with that narrative.
Don't run with that. Okay.
I'm just reading comments, folks. Okay. But, you know, oh, it's Willie Brown, yeah.
Willie Brown.
Man, our country is a joke.
Yes.
It's a joke. It's a joke that these are the two best Americans in the country. Like, shouldn't it be the, quote, two best Americans to potentially run our country? And is this really the two best Americans that we have, folks? Is this really representative of the best and the brightest of American politics? Of the best and the brightest to lead our nation. I mean, can you imagine Kamala Harris being our commander-in-chief and having to make a decision? Let alone any woman. But I'm just saying, you know, Russia's on the border. What do we do?
Let's go to Kamala to figure it out. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't sound...
Kamala, what do we do?
That doesn't sound very reassuring. It's easy
Kamala, you're going to have to negotiate these hostile terms with this political foe.
They're not going to take her seriously.
Putin. Yeah.
It's easy to get blackpilled when you really focus in on politics. That's why regardless, and I have my preference, I want Trump to win, but I will be sleeping like a baby on election night. And I really do mean that.
I thought, we're having an election stream.
Well, when I get home from
okay, that. All right.
You gotta
tune in. We're gonna have a special Baptist Bias election stream.
Yeah.
And
November 3rd.
It's
right?
either gonna be fun and we're gonna make fun of liberals' heads exploding or say communism is here. I don't know which one
yeah,
it is.
That's true.
I mean
those are two very giant extremes.
Let's just be honest.
Communism is here or making fun of left wing heads exploding. I wanna tune into the TYT stream that night.
Well, we will.
If
depending.
Yes, if Trump wins, because that will be very entertaining.
Although it seems like, I don't know if this is right or wrong, it seems like Cenk and, what's her face?
Anna Kasparian.
Anna.
They're moderating a little?
Have you seen some of those things a little bit?
Well, based on what I see on X, maybe a little bit.
I think it's just, but again, I don't know that they can like Trump because he's super pro-Israel, and I think that they're super anti-Israel. Isn't that correct?
Well, I mean, they'll never in a million years support Trump, but they're moderating to a more populist view from a left-wing perspective, I think.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Thanks for having the debate recap with us. Of course, we're going to try and integrate Spaces more and more into the show, and I appreciate the few people that joined us on Spaces and had some conversations with us. So you can follow me at Bandpastor and on X and on Twitter. Follow Ben the Baptist on Twitter and X as well.
Ben the Baptist.
What is your exact X handle there?
I think if you just search Ben the Baptist, it'll come up. So
what is the handle though? Just in case.
Baptist Ben 316.
Baptist Ben 316.
316.
Is that after Genesis 316?
Not quite.
That's a good verse.
It is a good verse. You can follow me there. And
1 Timothy 3:16.
1 Timothy 3:16.
God was manifest in the flesh.
That's right. Amen to that.
Or was it? Oh, was it John 3:16?
It was John 3:16.
Okay.
I'm on YouTube as well. I'm back on YouTube, if I can plug that.
Follow him on YouTube. He's putting out videos, hot videos. Mike Winger was your most recent video, I think, and you tore him up, didn't you?
I think I refuted the points that he made, and you know, if you have anything to add, of course, go for it. But what's interesting, Pastor Shelley, is that when you make videos against these false prophets, their fans brigade the comments section. So if you agreed with what I said, can you go in there and maybe put a positive comment? Because all I see is just James White people and Mike Winger people all over the comments.
Come on, New IFB. Come on, Baptist. Get out there. Like Ben's you know, stuff. We got to get it out there. We got to like it so that he can get enough followers to get banned. I mean, you know, the fact that he can still be on YouTube is just... It's just not fair.
Well, and I'll try to keep it YouTube friendly.
I would love to be on YouTube still.
Yeah,
so
you don't know what that's like.
People, but
being on YouTube, you don't know what that's like.
Yeah, what is YouTube? They don't really like me. I can't even use the app, Ben. How is that even?
You can't even use the YouTube app?
I can't even use the YouTube app. Of course, I can if I log into an anonymous.
You know,
account,
you call me a terrorist. You're the terrorist. Seems.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Somebody said it's already midnight in Jersey, so it's actually 9/11. They said they'll never forgive you, Ben.
He did not. He said almost forgot to never forget.
Other comment says Ben did it. Another comment says Ben is a terrorist. No, I'm just kidding.
According to the narrative that the news puts out, there was a Lebanese, at least one, as part of the hijacker. So I just got to own it. You know what I mean? It's there. I can't pretend that it's not.
Thanks to our space guests. We appreciated your comments. Thanks to our listeners and those who were putting in lots of the comments in the chat. Make sure to tune in. I think this Saturday we might actually do a special stream late in the evening, and we maybe do a Spaces again. There was a sermon about our church on Israel, and I think that maybe we should have a listen. What do you think about that, Ben?
I'm excited.
From Florida.
From Florida. I love Florida.
Can any good thing come out of Florida?
I think so. I think it's a great state. It just has a lot of heretics in it. But this guy saved, and Pastor Shelley, he had a bone to pick with our church and our view on Zionism.
Hey, we have a soul winning marathon coming up in Miami, November 16th. So if you'd like to go out, meet up with us, go soul winning, you can send us an email at steadfastbaptistkjv.com. steadfastbaptistkjv@gmail.com. Or you could even send the info at Baptist Bias. We'll get you the info. But we're going to be meeting up in Miami, soul winning marathon.
Amen.
It's going to be exciting.
It's how you save America.
We got to save Florida folks because they need a lot of help. Florida man needs a lot of help.
Spiritually. Carnally, they're good.
I don't know.
It's a gorgeous state.
Gorgeous
Palm
state.
Palm trees.
So if you'd like to go out beaches, there, meet up with us.
Meet and greet with Pastor Shelley.
I got one more guest here.
Will you take pictures?
Yeah, I hope so. Let's see. I'm trying to bring up one last speaker here for kind of end the show. 1611 Populous on our spaces. I don't know if he can join in and give us some last final thoughts here. But what else would you like to plug before we finish? What's our next show coming up? Next Tuesday, 8 p.m.?
Yeah, we will have a live stream. The show will feature you and I, and we will be talking on the stream.
No, we have a special guest.
There's a special guest as well.
Skeeter Jean.
Oh, that's right. Skeeter Jean. Next Tuesday night. You don't want to miss that one. 8 o'clock Central Time. 7 o'clock Mountain Time.
8 o'clock Central Time.
Yep. 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, 4 a.m. in Japan. Not quite sure about the last one. But folks, Skeeter Jean has a YouTube channel all about catching predators. He calls himself Skeet Hansen. And yeah, I guess Chris Hansen's long-lost brother. Tune in next week as we interview him and talk about what he does to keep children safe.
Well, I was going to try and add 1611 Populous. Sorry, it looks like he dropped or something. But thanks again. That's going to do it for us this evening on The Baptist Bias. Look, folks, everyone's got a perspective, but you need to get The Baptist Bias.